Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Aspershlager.
Hello.
Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
And Daryl Loomis.
Hi.
And you know how it works. We'll just kind of run through some usual crap and kill some of your time and get you ready and prep for the weekend for what I'm assuming is just a glorious weekend worth of Wrath of the Titans. Who's going to go see Wrath of the Titans this weekend? Anybody? Anybody? No. I was willing to give it maybe a possibility. I was willing to entertain the possibility, but I think it's pulling down a solid 0% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. So
yeah.
maybe it's not.
Later.
Maybe later, yeah. That's true. But let's get right into things. And, Mac, why don't you kind of kick us off with what have you been up to?
Oh, I saw The Hunger Games.
All right. And?
You know what? I really liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, admit that. You're among friends.
Okay. I don't know if it was just the hype, because I got caught up in the hype, but I would hope not. It was really enjoyable. We're all familiar with the story, but the beginning part of the movie really takes its time before we get to the actual games, but once that part of the story kicks off, you know, the pace is just really quick and just spot on. You know, it's just, even the slow parts aren't slow. They keep things moving, and it was just really exciting, and just a good time at the movies.
Had you read the books?
I've read the first one. I haven't read the sequels yet.
Okay. And how's it as an adaptation?
I'd say it's pretty spot on. There are little changes. One major change at the end, but even though I think that, you know, they got the characters really spot on, and what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence. She was great. Because, yeah, I mean, she basically, it's up to her to carry the entire movie, and she did a really great job. I'm very sort of believable that you could believe that she was that character. And also not in 3D, and as a huge blockbuster.
There you go. Were you in a packed house, Mac?
It was pretty busy, yeah. And yes, there were a lot of adolescent girls in the theater. yeah, it was pretty busy. And I went to the earlier show when I was leaving. The lines for the later show were huge. So,
you know, I got to say that this kind of caught me by surprise. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just out of touch with the young adult fiction world. But I mean, $140 million opening weekend. I didn't realize it that much pull.
Yeah, folks have been looking forward to this one for a long time.
All right. Well, so thumbs up then, huh?
I'd say so. Yeah. At least I hope that that's. I'm not just coming off of the hype. I don't want this to be a case where I watch it a year from now and was like, you know. But for now, I really enjoyed it.
All right, very good. Eric, how about you?
Well, Dave, I think you know what I've been up to lately.
Well, I haven't checked my teddy bear nanny cam recently, so I don't know what's been going on.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Dave. It's cute because it's Teddy Ruxpin, so sometimes you talk to me and
tell me
stories. It's
that's
cute.
Right. Well, you know, whatever can help you with your insomnia, I'm happy to do.
No, I appreciate it. Nightmares are a great cure. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, so last week I mentioned that Dave let me borrow Game of Thrones season one. I hadn't had a chance to watch it last week, but now I have one episode left. Watched 9 out of 10 episodes. In fact, recording this podcast is keeping me from finishing. So thanks a lot. But I really love it. It's a great show. Surprising to no one. For all the acclaim it's gotten.
Yeah, no contrarian opinion here, right?
No, not at all.
Would you make of the Golden Crown?
That was pretty amazing.
It was rough.
I did not. No, this definitely has you know, its fair share of kind of shocking moments. I think, as I was telling you on Facebook, Dave, the one like right near the end, the last episode I watched, had it kind of spoiled for me, so. Unfortunately, I knew that was coming, but so I don't want to ruin anything for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. But there are just a lot of great great moments like that. But it doesn't feel like it's not like a show that's like a twisty turny kind of show. It's just, you know, things just kind of get crazier and crazier, and it kind of starts with the idea that you know, they keep saying winter is coming, and this whole theme of, you know, things have been in this peaceful, you know, time, and now it's just gonna kind of go nuts. So. I look forward to watching the last episode and then waiting forever for season two. Everyone else will be watching it on Sunday. So, a little crazy. But, yeah, no, I love it a lot. I you know, I mean, of all the things I love about the show, I love a lot of, you know, the great performances and, you know, really, really beautiful, you know, detailed, you know, set design and character design and stuff. I love the opening title sequence. It's amazing. I don't know. Something about that. Like,
there's a whole featurette on that dedicated to the construction of that.
Yeah, I have to check that out because it's, you know, usually when I watch a show, I'll kind of, if I'm, you know, after the first few episodes, I'll, you know, skim past the opening credit sequence. For some reason, like, I want to watch it every single time just for that opening theme music and just that really cool kind of mechanical map design, which they, I'd heard they'd done it before I watched it, but I finally saw the Simpsons parody of the Game of Thrones opening. I don't know, Mac, you haven't seen Game of Thrones, so you may not have known. I don't know if you're still watching The Simpsons, but a few weeks ago, they opened up with a Game of Thrones opening.
I did see that on The Simpsons. I haven't seen the show yet because I'm still reading the first book, but I definitely caught on to what they were doing right away. And it was very well made on The Simpsons.
It was. Mac, you're reading the books, right, before watching the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through.
All right.
So anyway, I think you'll enjoy it, Mac. But by the time you finish reading the books, all the seasons will be out on DVD and Blu-ray, right. So you'll be able to watch it. That would be great.
Daryl, how about you? Did you mention you watched the show yet? Or?
I have not. I've seen about 15 minutes of it, and I thought it looked cool, but I just never went back to it. I'm really bad at television, keeping up with television shows, mostly. So I liked how it looked, and I'll see it at some point. But I think I do like the idea of watching of reading the books before the show.
I think it's one way or the other. Like, just because it's so. I mean, obviously, so much stuff happens, so that's why I just kind of said, all right. And it's tempting, man. It's tempting to kind of grab the books and see what happens, but not knowing what's going to drop episode to episode is pretty exciting as well. So,
yeah, fair enough.
So just trying to steer clear from Wikipedia and all that stuff.
Yeah, kidding.
That's probably the best way to do it, just read Wikipedia.
Yeah. That's how I do everything.
Book report.
Sorry, the book report. So, Daryl, how about you? Well, it's like, your news reel.
I don't have a lot of news. I've watched, or at least watching news. I have watched exactly two things in the last week and a half. I went on a cruise last week.
You must be more shrimp now than man.
Yes, exactly.
Jason Patrick, did you run into Jason Patrick as he's fighting off Willem Dafoe by any chance?
I did not. I had hoped to, but unfortunately, it was a rather tame event.
Bummer.
Cruise, but it is interesting because your viewing options, there's a lot of time to kill. So your viewing options, though, are really limited on these things. So I did watch the Three Musketeers movie.
Yeah, the new one, right?
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen a more boring action finale in my entire
life. Thank you. I really just came to really despise this movie in a big way.
It was – there was, you know, the – not to spoil anything for anybody.
Go for it. Screw it.
You know, they're in the blimp ships.
Yes, right.
What you want to call them?
That's the flying airships, yes.
Right. And so I was bored, so I went and got a glass of water. And as I was getting a glass of water, I came out and the credits started to roll. What the hell just happened? It's turning into a real benchmark for me for how bad a big blockbuster movie can get.
Yeah, did you rewind to see what you missed?
Oh, no, I didn't have the option to rewind. It's just a closed-circuit cruise television.
All right, well, I'll blow it for you. The blimp crashes, there's a sword fight on a church roof,
I saw that part.
And the ironic thing is Paul W.S. Anderson in the bonus feature goes out of his way to say, I just like practical action. I just want my action to be all practical. I don't like CGI. You know, and the whole end was just a CGI blimp crashing on a church steeple and then CGI sword fighting and
I saw up to basically the final conversation, but I thought the last conversation was going to go into, you know, some kind of other fight scene, but instead it just stopped.
Yeah, so much wrong with that movie. Like, D'Artagnan's just a dinkus, you know?
Yeah.
So screw him. The other Three Musketeers kind of are supporting characters and don't really do anything. Mila Jovovich is slow motion Carrie Ann Moss in the Matrix for some reason, and then she survives like a 1,000-foot drop into the ocean, which, according to A View to a Kill, that's impossible. And then Orlando Bloom just out-douches himself.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's just terrible.
And then I went into that movie with low expectations, just saying, hey, give me swashbuckling.
But, I can't. It was the best thing I had to watch. It was, it was that or like, the cruise people telling me to buy jewelry from them. Right? And I wish I'd watched the latter.
So, I apologize.
You know, no, it was entertaining in a way.
Yeah.
So I watched that, and then when I got back, on Sunday night, I watched the Mad Men premiere.
Oh yeah, I did as well. Anyone else? Any other guys? Mad Men. I know Matt, Eric. You watched some Mad Men here and there, right?
Yeah. If we slide cable, I'd watch
right.
it. So.
That's true. What'd you think of the Mad? Well, what'd you think of Mad Men? In fact, that's what I was going to talk about anyway. So
I'm a big fan of the show, and it's kind of. I came into it late. I came into it, I guess, as the fourth season was starting. Mm-hmm. Or just before the fourth season started. So I sort of watched them all of the first three seasons right in a row. And if I had watched from the beginning, I would have quit after the second episode.
Really?
Yeah. But it got better. And a lot better. And but it's still, I have this nagging feeling all the time that it's the kind of show that when it hits the wall, it's going to just fall off. But it hasn't yet. And I thought that before going into the premiere, and I came away remembering why I liked it so
well. Yeah, and I agree. I thought the fourth season was pretty weak, to be honest. I thought it was very weak, really. Just kind of ran out of ideas, I thought. But this opener was kind of what I liked about the show. Like, the fourth season didn't really do much about the actual advertising stuff.
No, it did more with the families.
More with the families, and let's be honest, January Jones is just terrible. You know, I mean, terrible. So she was MIA completely in this opener, so that probably
completely,
helped.
Yeah.
Well, there was a story, I think, last week or something, that because of January Jones' real-life pregnancy, she was going to be absent for a lot of the season, or just in a reduced role this season.
Fantastic.
So.
Just too bad.
Thank you, Anonymous.
I think it was probably her husband. let's give her the benefit of the doubt. And assume it was either her husband
or my pastor. I've seen the TMZ footage. So regardless, it was very entertaining, I thought. Roger was on his game in a big way.
Yeah, Roger was on. Roger is my favorite character, and he was on point.
I think, you know, Don was seemed kind of like a second fiddle in this. I mean, I guess the thing with Don is like, do you hold much hope for any kind of relationship? You know,
no.
I mean, obviously, I mean, do you get more sex pottish than his current wife? You know, which it seems like.
No, I don't think.
I don't think you can. So I don't know. I don't know what else he's gonna. You go find. He seems pretty content, you know, with the sleaze factor there. So
yeah, and I'm content to watch it. So that's
true. So it's a little bit, I guess. But it was very entertaining. I thought like all the office stuff is just, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, and for stretching to 2 hours, basically uninterrupted, it was really strong.
Yeah, so I hope to see more of that. Those kind of, and a lot of the advertising stuff, and
yeah,
obviously they're going to blend in the civil rights, civil rights movement, which should be pretty interesting. You know,
yeah.
So that seems to be a theme. So anyway, I agree with you. It was well done, and that's what I was going to talk about. So let's move on anyway to stuff we got going for the site. So back to you, Mac.
Okay, I'm working on a review of the new release of Young Justice from Cartoon Network. The show is really surprisingly good. It's very, very well made. It's really entertaining. This, of course, is the DC Heroes, quote-unquote, sidekicks, who have made their own team, and they're hoping to improve or impress their elders and someday join the Justice League. So you got Superboy and Robin and Kid Flash and the whole gang. And the show's really well done. It's really exciting. They're really exploring just basically every corner of the DC universe they can, so it's really a lot of fun for comic book fans. But they're only releasing 4 episodes at a time on these discs, which is a real bummer because, like, every episode expands on the world and expands on the overall plot a little more. So, and this set even ends with a huge cliffhanger. So that's kind of a bummer, but it is a really great show.
Quick diversion. I was going to bring this up. So when you mentioned cliffhanger, it reminded me of an article I read in the Daily Beast about a guy who was just writing about kind of lamenting, like, lamenting cliffhangers in movies, how they don't really tie things up. And though I hadn't seen the movie, he was talking about The Gray. I guess the Gray, that Liam Neeson nature thriller or whatever, ends mm-hmm. on a kind of a cliffhanger, you know. So
really?
He, you know, the point of the article is like, are movies just leaving this wide open, you know, instead of kind of wrapping things up in kind of a closure? Is that a trend? Is that, you know, he didn't like it at all, but I don't know. What did you guys think? Do you think you think you're seeing less of the kind of traditional beginning, middle, end closure movie going on, or, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're seeing fewer first parts in any kind of series, meaning okay. we're seeing fewer original movies. Okay. I mean, there's so many sequels now that you sort of
right.
expect a cliffhanger because it's the second or third part, or, you know, it's going to be part of a huge Avengers type thing right, or something. Right. So, yes. so it's a lot harder to be surprised by a cliffhanger.
Well, there's cliffhanger, and then there's the classic leave it open for the sequel.
Yeah.
And where are we right. drawing the line there? Like, you know, Hunger Games ends, it comes to a conclusion, it wraps things up, but there's kind of this final note where you kind of nod your head and go, oh, that's going to be in part two. So I guess I wouldn't call it a cliffhanger, but they are setting up the next movie.
I mean, that's obvious. You know, obviously yeah. that's a series for sure. And, you know,
true.
But I guess it's like maybe looking at movies that are standalone anyway and leaving stuff unresolved, you know, for the viewer to kind of, you know, just go with it. So I'm trying to think of examples of that.
Yeah, I can't really think of any either. I mean, it's pretty ballsy to end on an actual cliffhanger if right, there's yeah. no...
I didn't see The Gray, so I don't know what that exactly means, but...
I guess, and I haven't seen either, but towards the end, Liam Neeson just faces off. I mean, it really, it's very much like a Sopranos, maybe like a Sopranos ending is a good example of that, you know? You know, with that kind of fade to black with the no resolution and the big question mark. That's kind of what happened.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if they're not planning a sequel and it's not some kind of David Lynch confusion fest, I don't see the point of doing that. I don't see the point of not wrapping your story up.
Yeah. Just thought it was something would have to – I'd have to think of something more specific, but I just remember thinking, eh. That would,
I mean, there are certainly a lot of bad movie endings, but I don't know. I mean – Are there unintentional cliffhangers out there? It's just, oh, we forgot to finish the movie.
Sometimes they feel that way. I will say that.
I mean, all kinds of horror movies end with leaving you wondering if the monster of the killer is still alive at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's how, I mean, you get that. But then again, it's the same. It's the sequel issue where you're going for to leave it open so that you can just bring your guy back.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that was a quick digression. So, Eric, how about you? What do you got cooking for the site?
Well, this week I am reviewing Madonna Truth or Dare.
Aha. All right. It's Willem Dafoe, right? Isn't that Willem Dafoe? No.
No, this is the documentary.
No, that's Body of Evidence.
Body of Evidence. Thank you.
Sorry. This is a blind assignment, which is totally fine.
Oh, congrats.
I haven't watched it yet, which is also totally fine, so we can move on.
Okay, Daryl.
Absolutely nothing. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I haven't reviewed anything in 2 weeks. But I can confirm that it is a tour documentary, Truth or Dare is. Well, and it's got her slapping down Warren Beatty, and that's pretty funny.
So, I know as much as I knew about the movie when it came out in like 1990 or whatever it was.
So Eric hasn't anything, Daryl doesn't have anything, and speaking of cliffhangers, I'm gonna give you something terrible to end off on, I guess. Scarecrow and Mrs. King, season 3. How about that?
Wow.
I mean, that's the most entertaining thing I've got for you, unless we're gonna talk about Ocean Giants or Fortress of the Bears, which are nature documentaries. But yeah, Scarecrow.
Dang, I was thinking those sounded cool.
No, Fortress of the Bears. They do sound cool. I will say that much. And I would probably watch a movie called Fortress of the Bears, but yeah, totally. Bear documentary. But now we'll talk about Scarecrow, Mrs. King. Still, it's one of those crazy '80s shows. It's amazing how talk about just outlandish plots. You know, like the Scarecrow is this super secret agent. Even though he apparently sucks so bad, because every time he gets into a fight on screen, he gets beaten up, and he lets the bad guy, who is obviously some major threat to national security, just waltz away. Like, he got sprayed in the face with a fire extinguisher, you know, and he couldn't battle through that to capture the inevitable Soviet spy, because being this is the 80s, it's all about the Soviets, you know. But worse, you know, the counterpart is Mrs. King, who is like a stay-at-home mom. Well, she's a mom who lives with her mom, and she's apparently in the CIA, and she's entrusted with our national security. So
so he's a spy, she's a housewife, they fight crime?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not just crime. I mean, they're not, like, solving shoplifting cases here. You know, they're going against, Soviet agents and terrorists, and I think they're in Afghanistan working against the KGB for something. I think they fight a militia in West Virginia. It's pretty insane.
So are you saying that they armed the Taliban?
I think they may have been. That's right. I think there's a picture of Amanda King shaking Saddam Hussein's hand. But, yeah, so pretty ridiculous. I mean, they kind of play it straight, you know? It's like humorous, but it's not spoof. It's not like humorous in the fact, hey, we know this is a ridiculous concept, humorous. It's like just, they're actually good spies, and they just banter, even though when she holds a gun, I swear it looks like she's going to break down and start crying. She does, you know, poor Kate Jackson, the actress, does not come across as a gun-toting, you know, much trust in, you know, toting a gun, even though her counterpart, the Scarecrow, I don't know why he gets that nickname. Maybe because he just stands still and takes a beating like nothing. I love these, like, I love these 80s relics, you know?
It's pretty great. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched that when I was a kid.
Did you?
I'm sure that I did. I think so, although I think I'm also confusing it with Remington Steele for some reason.
I don't know. The same show, probably. But yeah, what I love about these shows is, like, the openings are, like, 3 minutes long.
I know.
The opening titles. And it's just all these clips. They're so long. Oh, man, that's probably why they could do 47-minute episodes, because a quarter of it was just the opening title. So, all right, so that's that. Good times, Scarecrow, Mrs. King. All right, Mac, take us onward and upward.
Okay, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. You at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the Upcoming Releases tab. From there, scroll down and click on the link to the Cover Art Gallery for April 3rd. We're just going to talk about whatever we see on the list here. Probably the big Hollywood release of the week would have to be War Horse from Steven Spielberg.
I want to see Stephen King's War Horse.
Yeah, that would be something.
There's a ton of Dark Shadows coming out, if you're ever a fan of those shows.
I've never seen an episode. That's not up in arms about the trailers, because I have no idea. No idea.
Why is it a comedy?
Yeah, is the show not a comedy? I mean, I know nothing, Max.
It was an experiment. It was a soap opera, like a daytime soap, but it was about vampires and werewolves and monsters, and it had developed a real cult following, but it was only on for a couple of years. Which is why we can get it on DVD and not like General Hospital. You know? Could you imagine General Hospital, the complete series?
Right. You got to think there's a market for those, though.
You would think. Right?
It was just a few discs shorter than the CSI sets.
Yeah, no kidding.
They shipped in one of those giant shipping crates that come on ocean freighters. That's what you get up in. Here's a little shout out to some BBC mystery, The Commander, set 2. It's actually pretty good. That's another thing I reviewed for the site. That'll be coming out soon. Ignore the bad haircut. She is badass, that commander.
She's wearing one of those the hot fuzz uniforms.
She's wearing one of those hot fuzz uniforms. Absolutely.
That's what they're called in England.
That's right. But a very dark, like a very dark and gritty show. Like the very first episode of this set, these people find a perfectly preserved dead toddler in an oil drum.
Goodness.
Yeah, it kind of goes downhill from there. So, man,
British comedies are so weird.
They are weird, absolutely. I just don't get it. I just don't get the humor.
Well, there's Truth or Dare.
There is Truth.
So apparently, so it's a tour documentary, and apparently she sleeps at some point. So,
yeah, that's
piecing it all together. I don't even need to watch it. The review writes this.
Got it. You've already got it.
That's right.
Is it some big week for the Titanic? Because there's four different discs.
Yeah.
And are they releasing the three?
They're releasing Cameron's movie in 3D.
In 3D, right, yeah. See, there's – is that Chris Elliott in Eagle Heart?
Oh, yeah, the Adult Swim show. Yeah.
Is that Chris Elliott? It is Chris.
I think so.
It's Chris Elliott, yeah.
What is that show, Mac?
It's a spoof of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Nice. Is it funny?
I actually haven't seen it, but the ads are on Adult Swim constantly.
Okay.
Now, even though it didn't get great reviews, I still want to see We Bought a Zoo, because I like Cameron Crowe.
Oh, that's Cameron Crowe? I didn't know.
Now, here's a show that I just really despise. That 70s Show. Did anyone else hate that show?
It was a terrible show.
Made worse by the stupid laugh track that was too bad.
Oh, yeah.
The over-exuberant laugh track. Oh.
And after I already hated it, I always had to watch the last 5 minutes of it because it came on before SmackDown. And so I grew to hate it really, really badly.
Just
Yeah, all the people from it. I like Mila Kunis at this point because of forgetting Sarah Marshall. But other than that, I can't stand any of those people.
It was on at just the right time, I think, for Fox. I don't know what that means. All I know, but
like,
I do know,
time,
I do
like
know.
7, like 8:30 p.m. that kind of thing.
Exactly. I don't know what that. I don't know. Really, I just wanted to say that my fondest memory of that 70s show is seeing a Scottish version of the show. I'm sure I've talked about that before. When I was in Scotland, they had like a British version of that 70s show, which I think was done afterwards, because I'm pretty sure that 70s show. It was like, and I recognized the episode. I'd seen the episode. So it was the exact same script, but with like British people in the same outfits recreating the episode.
Oh, man.
I don't think I was drunk at the time, so pretty sure it's real, but man, it was weird.
No, it's nice to know Hollywood doesn't have a monopoly on that sort of thing.
Oh, no, no.
There's the Corsican Brothers, but it doesn't appear to be the Cheech and Chong movie.
All right, well, plenty to peruse and purchase and support DVD verdicts, so inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Daryl, why don't you go first?
Let's see. I can go really easy, and I can go really dirty.
Oh. I'll let you choose.
Sometimes they're both.
Sometimes they're both.
They're both really simple, so I'm just going to go with We Bought a Zoo.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither. Why? What kind of cruise did you take?
It's filthy.
Is it an erotic cruise? Yeah, apparently. Eric, how about you?
I'll go with Enter Nowhere.
All right. Mac?
The Bush Pilots.
That's good.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
I missed that. I don't know what this means, but it sounds dirty. Sing Out Loud with Rags.
Can you even say that on the show?
I don't think so.
Man, we got to get an explicit tag now. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right, moving on to our ambush topics where we just throw random stuff at each other. Oh, actually, before we close out this segment, Alien Opponent, which I talked about last week, is on the show, and it is indeed terrible. So anyway,
chess movie, right?
What, Alien Opponent?
Yeah, yeah. Sci-fi chess movie.
Fantastic. So anyway, ambush topics. I will go first, and here's my challenge to you, gentlemen. Take a movie that you love and have espoused your love for, perhaps on this podcast, and genuinely look at it with a very critical eye. You know, it's your sacred cow, so roast it.
All right, I can go on that one. My favorite horror movie of all time is Suspiria.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Good movie.
It's a great looking movie. It's a great sounding movie. It has the worst story of any horror movie that I can think of.
That seems like a pretty big check in the minus column.
It is, and I've seen it a lot, so it irritates me. As beautiful as it is, and it's a gorgeous movie, and it's loud, and the soundtrack's awesome, and it's a big waking nightmare. But it's about an American girl who goes to a German ballet school, and there's witches there. And that's it. And then some maggots fall from the sky, and a dog attacks its owner, and then it ends.
You had me at dog attacks its owner. It's cutting edge stuff.
But as much as I love it, I wouldn't ever for a second try to defend that crappy, crappy story.
All right. Good sacred cow roasting there. Who's up next?
All right, Empire Strikes Back.
Ooh, all right, lay it on.
I've never been certain just how much time passes in the movie. when Luke is with Yoda, it seems like weeks are going by.
That's true, that's a good point.
And this is cut together with scenes of the Millennium Falcon on the run from the Empire, which seems like maybe a day goes by, if that.
Right.
Well, it depends on how long they're in hyperspace, right?
Oh, is that a thing?
No, I don't know. No, no.
Well, they're not in the space slug's gut for very long. We know that much, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they're not running around asteroids for super long. But how long are they attached to the side of the Star Destroyer?
It can't be that long. I mean, Star Destroyer's got sensors and stuff, and there's other ships flying around it. Somebody would have said something.
And how often do they get rid of their space junk, though? You know.
That's a good question.
Space junk. I don't know why this one. Sorry. Oh, we're not still on inadvertently sleeping.
Space junk is pretty good.
So that's always bugged me about Empire.
Yeah, so basically what it means is Luke just took the abridged Jedi training class. There's really no way around that, right? Like, he maybe did 2 days of training. It was like a J term, you know?
Jedi training for dummies. It's really, it's... All right, my turn. All right, I guess I'll go with Rushmore, one of my favorite movies.
Yep.
I think the central kind of romance, the triangle thing goes on, I think, a few back and forths a bit too long. There's one point where Jason Schwartzman's character fakes a bike accident to get in Miss Cross's house that always seemed like it probably should have ended before that and kind of wrapped up. Plus, they talk about it. They mention hand jobs a lot. Maybe a little too much for my taste. So. Still only the second dirtiest thing said on this podcast.
That's true. That's an odd way to put that.
Inadvertently sleazy sounding. My goodness.
That's quote unquote.
All bets are off, gentlemen.
They mentioned hand jobs a little too much for my taste. That's great.
Hand jobs and space junk.
Hand jobs and space junk. Well, Batman Begins, obviously a movie I adore, but a lot of stuff that, you know, when I really think about it, irritates me. I think the script gets really lazy at some points, where all they're talking about is fear and becomes really cliched. Katie Holmes is very weak in that movie, I thought. I just didn't think she was the right cast there. The action is just shot so poorly, so it's hard to see what's happening. And then it ends with this, the whole thing has been grounded and makes, you know, goes out of its way to be this grounded, how does Batman become Batman? And it ends in this physics-defying, elevated train chase that ends with, I don't see how hundreds of Gotham innocents lost their lives, you know, by the time that whole thing ended. So, and then with Commissioner Gordon, like, figuring out the Batmobile and blowing up the train, yeah. You know, that was pretty rough, too. So, but obviously, when you compare it to Batman and Robin, is this sweet, sweet elixir. And it laid the path for, you know, obviously the Dark Knight. But yeah, I think there was a lot of flaws in that first one.
So you didn't like the Batmobile chase in the middle of the movie?
I mean, I love the movie, you know. But,
oh, okay.
Hey, you missed the point. These movies we love.
Talking about the action, yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? That was great. I thought about, like, mainly like the combat action.
Oh, the old shaky cam thing.
Oh, yeah, it was dark and it was hard to see. And it was like, you really wanted to see Batman take on these League of Shadow Ninja guys, and it's cut, what happened, harpoon, and then he's beating up Liam Neeson.
Right.
You know, in hyperspace, so. Yeah, so. But yeah, that was a very good, that the Batmobile chasing, actually. Yeah, that was very good, too.
Okay, cool.
Don't know how
By the way, Hunger Games also breaks out the shaky cam, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yes. The shaky cam. Someday. Real quick, I do have to say, speaking of action, I am looking all over the place for, apparently this weekend, the Raid Redemption opens, which is, you know, made by those guys who did Maritale, and all I read are these great reviews, and, you know, you're talking about movies that don't use the shaky cam, that just let stuntmen beat the crap out of each other. I've not been able to find it anywhere, so if anyone gets any heads up of where the Raid Redemption is playing within 100 miles of me, please let me know.
Okay.
I'm striking out. Okay, Eric, what do you got?
Overly padded movies.
Okay, I go with we've gone with this one before, but AI.
Good choice.
We've talked about this, but I might as well bring that up. Just the whole, all the alien shenanigans that break out towards the end, you know, just should have ended with the poor little kid staring out the window at the statue, and then it just turns into the abyss.
All right, this is a tricky one. Oh, what was the name of that movie? I know when I got it. I can't think of the name of it.
Who's in it? Help us.
Yeah, describe it. We can.
Well, what's that guy's name? Come back to me.
Okay. Yeah,
Harrison Ford. Marlon Brando.
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis, of course.
I mean, I'm thinking of like 75% of the horror movies I've ever seen.
Oh, true.
That is, I mean, what? Okay, then use that, Daryl. Like, what is a worst offense of a pad of a horror movie to really add its runtime?
For that, romance.
Romance. I agree. Yeah.
Romance. I mean, there's no.
Or really setting up the characters in any manner. You know.
If
building
you want
character relationships at any.
Yeah, you don't really need it. You just need every horror movie could be 70 minutes long, and I'd be super happy. But pinning one down, I'd like to pin one down.
Okay, I'll go. The movie I was thinking of was Wicker Park with Josh Hartnett. You guys ever seen this?
That sounds familiar. I guarantee I will never see it in my life. Because I'm on a cruise, apparently.
You don't have much choice.
It's supposed to be like this supernatural thriller, and they're trying to do like a film noir thing. And I remember when the movie was over, I was just like exhausted because it was like such a slog to get through it. And I was like, man, I can't believe this movie was 3 hours long. That's so long. Couldn't they have cut some stuff out of the movie? And then, you know, I looked on the back of the box and it said like, you know, 115 minutes. So it definitely needed some editing there because that is just a slow, slowly paced movie.
And Daryl, while you're thinking of something, I will just go on record saying there should be no reason why a Transformers movie should ever be more than 2 hours and 20 minutes. I don't know. They're all over 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I'll never understand why.
No, talk about a movie that gives you the romance instead of the giant monsters.
Absolutely. Or the terrible parents and the dick jokes.
Oh, the parents.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Okay, since Wicker Park was mentioned, I'm just going to go ahead and throw down The Wicker Man. the older one that is full of these dancing sequences.
That's true, yeah.
That all eliminated, because the movie's like 110 minutes or something, and so you could have got that down to a reasonable pace. So I'll blame Wicker Man this time.
All right.
There's three or four different cuts of it, but I'm still with you about those dancing scenes.
Slapping the walls, dancing around.
I had a tough time wording this one because I originally wanted to say something like movies that would have worked better as episodes of a TV show or something, but it was inspired because I recently watched the movie Skeleton Key, which is just Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dumb horror movie. Yeah.
Why'd you watch that?
It was just a Netflix thing.
Gotcha.
It's one of those. That's a dumb movie. I'll watch that. So anyway, and it's got an okay twist at the end, but it's really like all this long build up for what could have been like a Tales of the Crypt episode. If it was like a Tales from the Crypt episode, I think it would have been pretty decent. That's but like right. As this like super long movie, it just takes forever to get anywhere. So. I don't know. I mean, Dave, could you think of another, with that criteria, you think of like a movie that should have been like a Tales from the Crypt episode instead?
That should have been a Tales from the Crypt episode?
The answer is Willow.
The answer is Willow.
Obviously. Speaking of Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Do you think Warwick Davis, Peter Dinklage is great in Game of Thrones, obviously. What if Warwick Davis was playing?
Too distracting.
You think so? Okay.
I would always just be ready for one of those magic acorns at one of the Lannisters.
Oh, Lannisters. Okay, sorry. Let's keep going.
Okay, Mac, go ahead.
Okay. I don't think we've done this topic before, but if we have, I'll try to come up with something on the spur. But this topic is the first R-rated movie you ever saw at the theater.
Oh, wow. Good one.
Wow.
Man, I don't know if I remember. You think it would be memorable, right?
Right.
I think that mine was Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Oh, ooh, nice. That's a good one to choose. The tendon puppetry one. That would have freaked me out.
Yeah, yeah. I was about 11 or 12, I guess, sneaking into that.
See, I guess I'm just a choir boy. I never snuck into anything. So it's going to be whatever I saw is just going to be appropriate, I think. Age appropriate.
Oh,
yeah, man, I'm really striking out here. What?
Oh, man.
I think I'm kind of like you, Dave. I mean, I saw a lot of R-rated movies like on video.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, going in the theater, I've got to be either Pulp Fiction or Natural Born Killers.
Fun times.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I was a fun kid. I was in high school. So.
I know. I guess that maybe The Crow. I think I'm a pro. Okay, that's a possibility. Man.
Is that R-rated?
Yeah, definitely.
Been a while.
Yeah, sorry, Mac. I guess the idea would have been sneaking in to see something awesome and then, like, wetting your pants in fear. Right. I guess a conformity laden childhood.
Sorry, man, we are lame.
That's right.
You haven't lived unless you snuck into the theater.
That's true. I mean, I did go on that PCP murder rampage.
That's nothing next to sneaking in.
That's nothing next to Nightmare on Elm Street. All right, what was yours, Mac? I got to hear it. Hopefully this is a great story, because I think...
All right, well, for me, my parents were fairly lenient when it came to the R-rated movies, as long as they were with me when I saw them. And when I was really, really little, for some reason, they took me to see The Verdict with Paul Newman.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like this really, serious, really gritty courtroom drama.
Mm-hmm.
And, not exactly a kid's movie.
No.
And... And to this day, it's the only time that I've ever fallen asleep during a movie at the movie theater.
Oh, wow.
It was my first
R-rated movie.
Yeah, seeing The Verdict with Paul Newman.
Well, I will
see, that's an Amber topic I could get behind. Movies you've fallen asleep at during the theaters.
All right.
That you may or may not be ashamed of.
Okay, lightning round. I was very few, but I fell asleep during Resident Evil. I fell asleep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, when I was a kid, I fell asleep during Star Trek 2.
Oh,
dang.
I mean, I fall asleep during some pretty good movies. So.
That's pretty good. All right, quick lightning ambush topic.
GoldenEye.
Oh, wow, okay. And Mac, you said The Verdict, obviously.
That's the only time.
I will say, though, I remember watching Stand By Me with my parents, and obviously not rated movie. And it was a video. And just freaking out. When they show the corpse, they show the kid who died at the end. Remember the kid who died?
Yeah.
For some reason, it freaked me out. I don't know why. But, like, the weird, his eyes open, maybe that was what freaked me out.
If you made it through the vomit scene, then the corpse shouldn't have been no problem.
I think I embraced the vomit scene. I enjoyed the grossness of the vomit scene. Okay. All right, Daryl, what do you got?
Just
for
me?
Us? Yeah.
All right. Well, when I was preparing for the cruise, sort of envisioning what it was going to be like, I came up with a good movie idea for a Dane Cook vehicle called Cat Cruise.
Okay.
So that got me thinking about, I won't get into it because it's going to take a long time.
I think it pretty much writes itself.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
It really does. it got me thinking about movie animals, and best pet animal in a non-starring role.
The best pet animal in a non-starring role.
Yeah.
So not your Beethoven or Air Bud. That's
not Beethoven or Air Bud.
Oh, man, Air Bud was great. He played basketball, dude.
He played basketball. And his kids go and soccer? Do crazy adventures.
That's right.
Yeah, he played soccer. His kids go in space.
Yeah, I saw that when I reviewed that one. Don't talk about that again.
I'm not ready to have another Air Bud conversation.
No. All right, so non-starring. All right.
So non-starring, whether that's a CGI pet or an actual, trained dog or whatever.
Does Salacious Crumb count?
Is he a pet? I guess he's sort of a pet.
Mac, what's the ruling? Salacious Crumb, does he count as a pet?
I guess he could.
Because he is quickly becoming my favorite Star Wars character of all time. Just judging by the amount of times I've mentioned him on this podcast.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a leash on him, and he's not in a cage or anything, and he knows when to laugh and what to laugh at, so there's some intelligence there.
Doesn't he? I thought he had, a leash. Doesn't the leash?
No, that's
Princess
Leia had the leash.
Just like Princess Leia has the leash.
Ceiling.
That's right.
Like the monkey bird thing.
I actually have a distinct memory of when I was watching Return of the Jedi when I was a young buck, really kind of... feeling pretty bad for Salacious Crumb when he got nuked in the explosion.
You feel bad for everybody. Like, everyone dies in that ship.
That's true. And you got to figure that there's just... I mean, we knew that there were slaves in there, so a lot of innocent victims. And
totally.
Maybe some people, some family just going out to see the Sarlacc pit, for a tour.
I bet Jabba's Pleasure, Cruise had a really great buffet.
But maybe it was a front, right?
People just there.
Maybe it was just a front the whole time. All right. Again, we're off topic here.
Sorry.
So we've established that Salacious Crumb is not a pet. Okay.
There were other pets in Jabba's Palace. There's that kind of lizard-looking thing.
Yeah, there's that lizard guy that laughs and stuff. That would work.
No, I'm going to steer Jabba's Palace. That's all low-hanging fruit. I'm going to steer it. I'm trying to think about some kind of an action movie with, like, a badass dog.
Like canine.
Like canine.
Turner and Hooch, that kind of thing.
Turner and Hooch.
Well, I mean, if you're Hooch, you're a part of your outfit. You're not a secondary character.
That's true.
if you're preceded, you know, by an and, I think you've got a legit shot.
All right.
Okay, how about this? All right. How about Artax from The Neverending Story?
Yeah, perfect. That's there you go.
Which creature was that?
It's the horse that drowned in the swamps of sadness.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal, yeah? Talk about something rough for a kid to watch for a PG movie. That whole movie was kind of a trip anyway, but you know, watching Artax slowly drown and then Atreyu just like whimpering. That's rough. It was like so drawn out, too. It was just out.
Off topic real quick, Atreyu is also the name of a current fake metal act, and I just want to say that I think that is the worst metal band name I've ever heard.
Okay, duly noted. Artax would have been better, right?
Yes. Artax would have been far better than Atreyu.
That's right.
How do you respect yourself?
All right, so that's mine. Artax is my choice.
Let's see. Well, on Futurama, they have Nibbler. Is not really a main character, more of a supporting character. But,
yeah, he just eats junk.
Exactly. Definitely the pet. But, you know, all the characters on the show always talk about how cute they think Nibbler is. Isn't Nibbler kind of hideous? Mm-hmm. I think Nibbler's, like, really ugly.
But when you own some, you know, when you own a pet, you know, you can have a cross-eyed cat and forget it's cross-eyed for while you're looking at it, I guess.
Oh, is that how it works? Yeah.
Because
He's got the third eye up on the eye stalk, and he's got just the one nostril instead of two. That's so gross.
He looks terrible.
All right. I had to look this up.
It's okay.
I couldn't remember the name of it. But in Flight of the Navigator, when the kid is on the spaceship, he befriends apparently it's called a Pukmarin or something. It's like a... It's almost like a sea monkey,
yeah, right,
type of thing. Yeah. And he takes it and he has it in his bag at the end, and the dog sees it. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah. That seems like a gremlin situation waiting to happen. I don't know exactly the Pukmarin, but
so is that related to the Pukmarin from Babylon 5?
I'm going to go on a limb and say that is too nerdy for me to answer.
Oh man, I'm writing some fan fiction.
All right, so mine comes from one of my favorite bottom grade spaghetti westerns, a movie called Compañeros, starring Jack Palance, who on the back of the box they describe as a pot smoking sadist, but he's really just a pot. he's really just a pot smoking falconer.
Oh, okay,
so he's right. Got this falcon. Well, he's a sadist, I guess, too, but he's a falconer by trade. And,
the other's just a hobby?
Yeah, sadism is a hobby.
I do the sadism on the side, man.
And so he sends off the falcon to go spying for him and go find rats and stuff to eat. I don't know. And he's a, you know, Jack Palance is a great character, and he's right there with him the whole time. And then in the end, the good guys make him eat the falcon. So,
oh,
dude,
that's rough.
Yeah. So that unnamed falcon in Compañeros.
Although we kind of ate our own pets in college.
Well, not we. A, they weren't my pets.
Pigs. We raised some pigs up in college and ate them at second
time. Again, we is stretching.
That's true.
I was around.
Yeah, he was on the periphery. So
I'm not actually liable in any legal sense.
We won't open that can of worms.
What happened to those
pigs? Nothing. Straightforward. Bought some pigs, hung out with them.
There was nothing straightforward about what happened to those pigs, Dave.
one of them gave it to an Amish family. Another one?
And all this happened in your dorm room, did it?
No, up in the wastes of Western New York somewhere, in the wastelands. But that's neither here nor there. What is here is the end.
We should probably put that on the same list as Air Bud, things we'll never discuss again.
That's right. Yeah, let's add that. Let's blacklist that. So that being said, this is the end of the Friday Filibuster. So thank you for listening. Thank you to Eric, Mac, and Daryl. For helping kill that time, and Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is the email address. Again, be sure to peruse the upcoming releases and purchase and support our wonderful site. That being said, Mac, take us away.
May the odds be ever in your favor.